Hi, everyone. Welcome to the big show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and we are, I have no doubt, in for a very highbrow intellectual conversation today. Look, I had to try, okay?
You had to try. No, sorry. This is not the show for that.
No, not a chance. But not a chance. You've got my
not
ear.
A chance.
I want to point out, I did all of that with a straight face.
Yeah, that's true. You've been practicing that in front of the mirror, right?
I have.
We are proud of you for that.
Yes, good job.
Yeah, well, I accept this Academy Award on behalf of all the little people that made it possible. How's that for an Academy Award speech? Now all I need is a movie.
Yeah. What are you talking about? We're doing a movie every week. It's like all those people that need months or years to create a movie. Like, we do that on a weekly basis.
That's true. We actually do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, welcome back to the latest in our movie series, The Big Show, with Ian and Patrice and Jeff.
And Jeff.
Ian, how are you doing?
Me, I'm great. I've had a haircut. I've embraced the fact that my hair is running out, so it might as well be shorter. That's the big news of the week. Is I went to the barber and says, no, clippers. And he looked and says, yeah, go on then. Yeah, I think you're right now. He's quite good. I said, tell me when it's time. And because I'm getting the sunroof, I think it's time, clippers. So that's that. That's happened this week. Other than that, it's been a nice week. I've taught a class. I've done some prep. I've got to do some more prep. We've got a data center move next week that I've got to make sure all my gear's offline for tomorrow. So that's my fun for tomorrow. But otherwise, yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I've never heard the phrase, I'm getting a sunroof, in that context.
Yeah, sunroof.
Well, be glad he didn't tell you about his moonroof.
Yeah.
Okay. Different thing entirely.
That's a completely different demographic. And yeah.
Yep, it's wearing out. Too much time being on TV, on TV, you know, when you're on Teams all the time and you see your hair and you go, oh, for fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So my takeaway from that statement, Ian, is that using Teams makes your hair fall out.
That's probably not entirely wrong.
Yeah.
Probably not entirely wrong. Every time they update it, it gets worse.
Yeah. How did they manage that? I've never seen an improvement yet.
Well, you know how. Microsoft. That's the only way they develop nowadays. What can we do to make this product worse? Let's do that.
What can we do to make this product worse? Okay, let's 10x that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can we do to make this product worse and include AI?
And ads.
And ads. Yeah. I'm sure
and
that
find
at some
way of
point,
making you subscribe to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure at some of their planning meetings for new features, they're sitting around the table and someone says, oh, I have this idea. And it's going to be the best idea to make Teams the most unbearable tool ever.
No,
and someone else at the table says, yeah, well, hold my beer.
Yeah. They have a department of entitification.
Yes. I'm convinced.
And for the people who don't get that, there was a, I think it's a Norwegian like video or ad or meme. Something.
That,
no, that was going
that
around.
Video
like,
was fantastic.
I think it was Norwegian, or it's like the Department of Entitification, like the guys who like their entire job is to make everything worse. Right, and they're like, hey, and then we invented the internet, and now it's so much easier to make everybody's life miserable. Like,
okay, I'm convinced. I believe I just found it.
Yeah, put it in the chat.
This is some guy talking about it.
Mr. Doctor O, no doubt.
I don't think it was that. It was a Norwegian company or a comedy duo or something. It was definitely not.
Found it. The Enchidificator.
Yes, exactly. That one. Yeah, it's brilliant, like how it's done, like how it starts and all of that.
Okay, it's in the live chat now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. That is the one. Is it? As far as I remember, it's Norwegian or something.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, it's Norwegian. It says here, read more. Yeah, it's a Norwegian.
I'll watch that later before I go back to the house.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, but I'm sure, like, Microsoft has a department full of people that attend every meeting, and their whole job is to figure out ways to make it worse.
Yeah, this is what you
me
get
in the back of the room to say, why? What are you doing now?
It's like you read my mind.
Those people don't exist. They've left the company. They were fired.
Yeah, I'm the voice of reason in the IT meeting. They need to hire me just to sit in the back of the room. So we're doing what? Why? Mm. Will that make the customer's user experience better or worse?
Yeah, now you know why I don't get invited to meetings anymore.
I have that similar problem occasionally. Patrice. I do ask those questions of why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we doing it this way? This makes no sense. I got into trouble with my HR business partner. Well, in trouble. She complained about me. I was like, sorry, I just told you the truth. Like, if I disagree with the approach and I can point to a better way, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Well, you employ me because I think and use my brain.
Yeah,
exactly.
Patrice, how are you?
I'm I don't know. The world is definitely on a path to even more gentrification. So, like, hey, this week's been challenging, let's put it this way. I tried to go flying last week Friday, and that didn't work. So it's been 4 weeks, I think, almost. Not quite. 3 weeks or so. It's like twice I had to cancel because of wind. So let's hope this is done now. Yeah, other than that, I'm busy. I'm getting ready for a big conference end of the month in Berlin, usual every year. So, yeah, not sure how much else. Weather is all over the place here, but it was nice today. So, yeah, awesome. I don't know. It's just life is random right now.
This is the most random dumpster fire of a timeline right now.
It totally is. It totally is. Yeah, but there's some fun stuff. I canceled my Windsurf and switched to Copilot again, like, speaking of Microsoft. But actually, that team seems to be doing a good job, so it's working better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The gentrification team has moved to Windsurf, I guess, because that they're doing that right now, so... Yeah.
You know, at least they feel needed.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, no, it's been a week. It's been a week. It's been a week. we didn't have a big show last week, right? Because we ran out of people. Yet.
No.
We ran out of people last week, right?
Yeah, we're all not about.
Yes, I was out.
Yes. Yeah.
And... Right. Okay, Patrice, this is how crazy the last, I guess at this point, last few weeks have been.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was out last Thursday.
Mm-hmm. It feels like 5 weeks ago.
Oh, crap. I remember now. That was John Martyr-Lara's funeral day.
It was, yes. It was.
That feels like yesterday and months ago at the same time.
It does. It really does. Yeah. So but there are some positive things that happened. So I'm quite happy.
That's great.
Yeah. We'll talk about some. I don't know. I haven't decided yet which article I'm going to go with. So.
Awesome. Hey. Since I brought up John Martyr-Lara, I feel like it's totally appropriate for me to take a moment. And let everyone know that that Chuck Latornis, who many of you know from his appearances on the British Tech Network, and and from writings from the Mac Observer, and if you went to Macworld, he was in the Macworld All-Star Band.
He was, yeah.
Chuck passed away a few days ago. So we have lost two shining pillars from the Apple community within days of each other.
If you want, I'll throw it in the chat. I mean, it's Mac related, but if someone is interested, you can on our website. There's an author page, and since we used to, at least I think we haven't done it recently, but we used to tag all the podcasts with the people on it. I think we lost that somewhere. You can literally like see all the podcasts with him. So
Oh,
if you're
that's fantastic.
interested,
Yes, please do that,
yes,
Patrice.
I'll throw it in the chat. If you're interested, it's most I said it's I think exclusively Mac shows because he was on the Mac community. Makes sense. But you can go and watch the 13 episodes that he's been on. So
Well,
if you're interested.
thank you for thinking to do that, Patrice.
Yeah, I just checked. I just wanted to know, like, because I know I've been on with him over the years every now and then. So I kind of thought about it and was like, yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I have time, I'll probably also write a blog post or something, but haven't had time for that.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah, losing Chuck was very much a surprise and very much a loss for all of us as a friend, as a colleague, and as an important part of the BTN community and the Apple and technology community in general.
And he, I mean, he only recently retired, so it's kind of sucks that he didn't have a
Yes, he
chance to.
retired. Yeah,
Two,
I
three
believe a
months
few
ago.
months ago.
Yeah, 2, 3 months ago, something like that.
And his birthday was only a few days ago. So, yeah, another sad loss. My request to all of you, please just stick around because we have lost too many good people recently, and we need all of you. So, all of you, please stick around. All right. So now, we should do our usual. I wanted to say highbrow. I really wanted to try and fit that in, but no, not going to work. Let's just do our thing. And Patrice, I see you have the first story, and
I dropped in. I was kind of there's so many good stories this week, and I was like, should we talk about the Axios compromise? Should we talk about the new Anthropic model and the security implications of that? Should we talk about Amazon taking pot shots at NVIDIA and Intel and Starlink and so on in their meeting? Should we talk about John Deere winning their right to be forgotten case against actually the farmers winning against John Deere? But I thought let's do something positive. Let's leave Earth behind, well, in a way, and talk about Artemis too.
I love this plan.
Because it's something positive. It's science based. I'm in space, which is always interesting. I've been following on and off, as I had time. There were days where like I had the NASA website and the live stream running 24/7. Basically, I went to sleep and it was running, and I woke up and it was still running. It's been funny. It's been interesting. So for those people who don't know, didn't pay attention or didn't hear about it or live like under a rock or whatever, live on Mars, yeah, who knows, or on the moon, actually, that would be funny. As far as I know, nobody lives on the moon, as far as I know.
Well, doesn't Starbucks have a store there? And I think Waffle House.
probably Waffle House. anyway, so this has been a couple of years, I mean many years in the making. The Artemis program is supposed to eventually land people on the moon. As far as I know, Artemis 4 is right now targeting that. I mean, that could change. This is kind of the second step. The first step was to get everything squared up and go to space and figure out that everything's working. And Artemis 2 started, what is it by now, 8 days ago? I mean, the whole mission is 10 days, so it should be around 8-ish days. I could check, but that would be too easy. Yes, dot gov. Yeah. 7 days, 19 hours, 56 minutes, and 57 seconds ago, as we were recording this. And so started from, was it Cape Canaveral, I think? And as far as I remember, it was.
I believe so.
Took off, spent like a day and a half-ish, 2 days around Earth, basically getting ready, speeding up, checking everything, and then went into a free return trajectory towards the moon. So basically, if anything had gone wrong, they would have basically just slingshot around the moon and come back like automatically, basically. Fortunately, mm-hmm. I mean, there were technical issues as with any new-ish spacecraft. I mean, everything has been tested a million times, but like, you know, as usual, you can test and double check and test again, and you will still not find all the issues. Some of them like were hilarious, like the toilet not work or the fan in the toilet not working, and they had to troubleshoot that and they fixed it. But there were some funny things that happened. For example, that's one of the articles I put in. They have iPhones with them, but they have also what are they called? Microsoft Surface Pro.
Surface tablets.
Surface Pro tablets.
But there's a PDF link with everything, all the tech that's gone up with them. You know, all the different equipment, which is kind of cool to look at.
It's really cool, yeah. And so they have Surface Pros with them, and at some point we got a radio call from Ingenuity, I think. Is that
Integrity?
Integrity. I just remember it was something with I think Ingenuity was the rover.
Ingenuity's on Mars.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Integrity. Sorry. Which is the name the crew gave their capsule, the Artemis capsule. Basically, I think it was Christina who was like, I got two Outlooks. None of them are working. And the third app that I don't remember, that's also broken. Can someone have a look at it? And they literally, I mean, they were still in the orbit around Earth. Someone remoted into that tablet and fixed it. So
which is bonkers.
Mind
so cool.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the delay at that point was like under, I think, 100, 150 milliseconds or something, probably 100. So it's not that bad.
I've had worse internet connections.
Yes.
Terrestrial.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when they were out beyond the moon, they went beyond a second delay. So that is more noticeable, but like this close to Earth, it's doable. But it was quite fun. We learned a lot. They did a lot of experiments right along the way to like figure things out, to test certain procedures in the capsule, make sure like that, like if there was an emergency, that everything was working and so on. One of the first things they did in orbit was they basically did a kind of like they'd done with the original moonlight or before what was it called? Brain is stupid.
Well,
they basically
did the maneuvers
to connect, to basically dock with something. That was one of the maneuvers they tried.
Yeah. So previous space programs, they did tests with Apollo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apollo. And, that was the one. I was blanking on the name. I was like,
and they also did some preliminary tests.
Yes.
With Mercury.
With Mercury, yeah, and with Apollo they did that, and with Artemis they did it again. So they did on the like while they were around Earth, they did like a little like manual like trial basically to dock with something, just to see that everything was working correctly and how I think even one of the astronauts commented on it, like that it does feel different than in the simulator, and that's kind of the point.
Sure.
That's why they tried that. They wanted to see like how good is the simulator and like what's the difference and so on. So was it super interesting? And they're on the way back now. About 2 days ish ago, away from splashing down, again being back on Earth. Everything so far worked, as that minus little things here and there that didn't work exactly or that broke. Mm. Some hilarious calls with a certain president, stuff like that.
Oh, that was the most painfully awkward thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kept rambling and they just sat there in silence.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden there was silence and they were like, "You're still there? Can we get a..." They called Houston. They were like, "Can we get a comms check?"
Yeah.
Because it was just silence.
Apparently Trump was waiting for them to respond.
Supposedly.
And they weren't because they had nothing to say.
Yeah, supposedly. Anyway, yeah, as I said, it's minus that. I have to say, I love the crew. They're really great. Christina Koch is funny as hell. It's mm-hmm. three Americans and one Canadian. So yeah, one of the specialists is Canadian. It's funny. There were a lot of
American.
Yeah. There were a lot of digs towards the current government in the US. So
yes, that is funny. One of the digs, the jokes that I mm-hmm. that I've seen multiple yeah. times out of this is that the Artemis II crew
mm-hmm.
has gotten farther away from Donald Trump than any other humans.
Yeah.
Which of course is kind of a play on yeah. they've gone farther out into space than any other humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have. I mean, that was one of the big things. You would think that Apollo like did that, but they went farther out than any human. They had about yeah. what was it, 50 minutes of radio silence while they were behind the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely interesting. One of the things I did not know, despite being a massive space nerd, is that the US is the only country that has ever landed on the moon. Did not know that. I always thought that at least Soviet Union would have eventually done it, but nope, they never did.
No. The Americans are the only one to be on the surface.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. I mean, yeah. There've been rovers and whatever. There've been rovers mm-hmm. later and like recent years, and like India did it and China did it, and China is planning on landing on the moon also with people, but so far it's only been the US. So that I did not think about.
Two things that I saw that were amusing. One was just on the funny side of things, an American had posted, "Why we're letting Canadians go to our moon." I saw that and held my head in my hands briefly.
Yeah.
The other thing was, if I understand this right, a lot of the work that went to create the Artemis rocket is a joint venture there.
Yes.
Yes.
Japan, Japanese and ESA space agencies
mm-hmm.
all together. Yeah, yes. The way it was announced, it was all very much sound like American ingenuity and American excellence,
mm-hmm.
while ignoring the contributions
yeah,
of everyone.
That's
else.
Usually politics. No space program these days.
I don't approve of.
Yeah.
Yeah, service module, that's all ESA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, JXA, isn't it? The other.
Yeah, JAXA is also part of them. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you're doing anything in space these days, it's like, I mean, it's close to impossible. There's a lot of cooperation going on. Even during war times and whatever, I mean, there's still a cooperation between Russia and US on the space level.
Oh, yeah, there was for years, wasn't there? I mean, I always saw space travel as almost, I always like to think of space travel becoming more of a global thing. Where
yeah, human, like humanity thing.
My flag rather than your flag.
Yeah, a humanity thing.
The whole humanity, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
Humanity,
yeah.
not for silly lines on a map. Lines
exactly.
on a map and flags.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something, like anybody I've talked to who like has been in space or worked with astronauts said, like, if you're in space, there's no borders. I mean, that's true even when you're flying. I mean, look out the window and try to tell where the borders are. And you will have usually a pretty hard time.
I can tell you which border is so obvious.
Yeah, which one?
The border between Nebraska and Iowa.
Okay.
So obvious. Okay, so from the air,
mm-hmm.
you're looking down, so typically, well, this would be mm-hmm. like the southern
mm-hmm.
edge of both states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's green, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a very solid straight line in brown. And that's mm-hmm. Nebraska. I'm not kidding.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, what is it? Usually from the plane, you cannot tell where the borders are. Like, you you have a hard time. And there is some places where you are where it's obvious, but mostly you're like, looks the same from like high up. Yeah. So yeah, as I said, I'm very much into this. I know, for example, there's also the ESA is very much involved in the whole lunar program. There's a whole lunar test site in Munich, I think. If I remember correctly, it's either Munich or Cologne in Germany, where they're testing a lot of the stuff that will go up on the moon. They have literally like something that looks like you're on the moon, like a test area where they can like test a lot of like procedures and so on. They train people there and so on. So NASA works with them quite closely. So yeah, I know some people who work on that stuff. It's cool. As I said, it's an interesting venture. I'm like, I'm very much, I mean, 2020, the next one should be 2028, I think, planned. So Artemis 3.
And,
we'll see.
And I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, please. Artemis 3, that's where they do the test run for the new lunar lander.
Yes.
So they'll dock with it in mm-hmm. orbit.
Yeah.
Take it to the moon, do some tests, but they will not land.
They will not land. That's not the plan. So, they will get closer
will be
to the moon.
Equivalent
but...
Apollo 10.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. They will get closer to the moon this time, next time, but they will not land. And then Artemis 4 is the one that everybody's waiting for, where we will finally, after probably 60 years by then, back on the moon. I mean, that's the crazy stuff. Like, it's been 54 years since the last 72. Yeah, about 54 years since the last time we've been there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, but said it was super, super interesting. Artemis and like the SLS performed said quite well. Sure, there were little things. The pictures that were sent were quite bonkers, I have to say. And we still haven't seen everything. So they have iPhone 17 Pros with them. They have, I think, some DSLRs with them, and they have GoPros with them.
Yeah, the DSLRs, I think they're Nikon, but don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I
but
think
you're right.
Nikon.
They have GoPros.
Yeah, Nikon D5s. Nikon D5s.
D5s. Okay.
There we go.
It's on that little spec sheet.
Yeah, and that's it. And then they have, I think, for 360, and they have GoPros with them, as far as I know, because they kept talking about. They kept complaining about, like, do I really have to go to 360 mode every time? Switch it again. And they were like, yeah, okay, checking on it. It was really fun. As I said, listening to the live stream and the radio communications was sometimes really, really funny.
You see the thing about their, I'll call it a privacy faux pas, but it's more funny than anything else, where they didn't realize that they were live streaming the pilot taking a bath.
Oh yeah. I mean, he still had his underwear on, but he was naked otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, it was nice to look at, but I'm not sure that was supposed to happen that way.
Oh, it was not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it. But it would be interesting to watch, just to be able to see what it is that it takes to clean yourself in a microgravity environment.
It is annoying. I mean, it's also like, if you have longer hair, like, it's interesting. Like, I mean, Christina's hair is like all kinds of all over the place.
It expands.
That, and also, I mean, it's not, you're not in zero gravity, right? I mean, we say it's zero G, but it's not. It's microgravity, right? Because we have the Earth still has influence, and then the closer you get to the moon, you get little, and at some point more influence from the moon than from Earth. So there's still some gravity. It's just microgravity. So some effects you still see there, like that. It's not true zero gravity yet.
So. All right. So now I have a question that I'm sure I could answer with about a minute online. Can you truly be in a zero G environment? Because there's gravitational,
probably not,
pulls and pushes from.
I mean, yeah,
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of interacts. I mean, Milky Way interacts gravitationally with other. It's just so weak that you couldn't tell anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, but we're too close that's like really, as far as I know. I mean, it's still very, very minimal, but it's we're still too close for that, to Earth and to the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I said, it's been interesting time to see that, to follow that. So I hope everything goes well on the return. I said, so far, fingers crossed, everything fine.
Yeah, they had some anomalous activity with ablative heat shielding on Artemis 1.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of burning away the way they expected it to, some chunks actually came off.
Yeah.
And so hopefully... Yeah.
But I mean, that's why you
they've
do that.
Been able to overcome that too.
Yeah, but that's why you. That's why I mean, that's why you don't go straight away. Like you. I mean, this, like in this. I mean, in this environment, with this much, like relying on it, and there's little redundancy that you can have, because I mean, there's no calling AA. No, not AA. What is it called? AAA?
AAA is the other one.
There's also no AA calling. Not calling AAA in the US or AAC in Germany. To come and pick you up. Like if something goes wrong, you either fix it or you're screwed. Right. So
it's all dead.
You basically go very slow. You do step by step, and that's why they're doing this way. Like that's why this was also like a free return. They were literally like, if anything, like as long as we get into the free return, if anything happens afterwards, we'll probably be fine. We'll just return. If I don't know, some like we run out of power or whatever, something doesn't work anymore, it will come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was the idea. That's why you do that.
And. Yeah. And aside from minor course corrections for precision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't have to use their engines again until they're ready to actually re-enter Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What was also interesting is like they go up there and they're really fast, but then the atmosphere and gravity and so on slows them down again, and they go closer and closer to Earth, which speeds them up again, because you're treating basically potential energy against like speed. Well, exactly. You turn potential energy into speed again, to movement, so you get faster and faster. And then they basically did the lunar injection burn where they left Earth's influence.
It's just so fascinating, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the math for it is crazy, because I mean, if you look, I've seen an animation today where like how this whole happens in space, like relative to the sun. The sun is kind of fixed, and Earth and Moon are moving, and like how this whole thing like works, and it's really complicated. Like all the movements and like the math for that is just insane.
Yeah, and yes, and when you do your lunar injection burn, you're not shooting towards the moon. You're just shooting out into space, and as you're traveling,
to where the moon,
catches up to you.
It's true. Where the moon will be.
Yeah.
And then the same way on and also on the way back, right? I mean, you're basically shooting for the moon to go around the moon and come back in a way that you end up where Earth will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pointing yourself there to come back.
Yeah. So that
there's,
I mean,
there's some definite math and calculation going on there to get them going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I mean, these days with like computers and whatever, but like, I mean, we did this by hand back in the day. Someone had to figure out the math to do that.
Yeah. Yes. And when you say by hand,
literally,
that's literally the case. They weren't using even pocket calculators, because that didn't exist.
Yeah.
It was slide rules.
Slide rules, exactly. They had some help, like
it was slide rule. It was slide rule.
Yeah, but the math is the hard part. Like the calculation itself was then, let's say, easier in air quotes, but getting to the math, like how do you even calculate that, was the hard part. But that these days, like there's programs you put that in. But someone does still check it, as far as I know. gets checked and triple checked and double checked and alternative plans and what if and whatever scenarios. So this is the whole preparation.
Because you've got that whole thing that you do this, you do all these maths on Earth, and then you're hoping that everything is still true when you're in space.
Yes.
Which in theory it ought to be. But you don't know until you've tried it that first.
No, and there's variables you cannot account for, right? Little variances in like how your trajectory is exactly and like how your burn exactly turns out or whatever. There's little variances that you might have to correct at the end. That's why they do corrections sometimes, because it's like not everything is 100% perfect. Yeah, so very long story. This is really cool. And there's I put the second link in. There is a mobile website, because the NASA website is not great on mobile, unfortunately. But there's a mobile website that someone where they put together everything, and it's really cool. So if you want to,
that's super cool. All right, so you just before we move on, you were talking about the what it took for the Apollo program to get where it was. There are two people that were very, very key to actually making everything work.
Yes.
And one handled the software code for the spacecraft, and the other handled the heavy duty math.
Yeah.
Both of those are women.
Yeah. There's a really good movie about them.
I thought they
were. Hidden Figures.
Yes.
Yes. Great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, not 100% accurate, but great movie.
But at least it opens people's eyes to the fact that
it was mostly women.
Played a key role.
Yeah. It was those two, but it was a lot more because there was like a whole pool, actually multiple pools of computer, like it was literally people doing the computing.
Yeah.
Like the computer pool until they switched over to what was it, IBM machines at some point.
Yeah. There's a quote that I can only remember the essence of it. And I feel bad that I can't remember the essence of it, but, or the actual quote, but, there at some point some people were concerned about the math. And from what I understand, it was a totally misogynistic thing with a concern.
Yep.
And so the astronauts for the flight, they stepped up and said, if she's doing the math,
we trust
it. We trust it, and we will do the flight.
Yeah.
If it's someone else doing the math, no. So I just think that's, first, it sucks that misogyny. Well, it's still a thing.
It's still a thing. Yeah.
But second, these astronauts, so in this case, these three white men, they were like, no, we trust her implicitly, a black woman.
Yeah.
And we won't do the flight unless she's doing the math.
Yeah. It's like, I heard something or someone said recently, it's like, I guess the AI is working because you know the whole thing that's going on there.
Yeah.
But we should talk about Ian's story because it's also a fun story.
We should. Oh, yes. And this one. Okay. So Ian, your story. I'll give you lead into it. When this news came out, immediately I said bad words and then went and grabbed my Kindle to make sure that that I'm okay for now. So with that lead in, tell me about the story and do I need to be concerned?
Well, Amazon has decided that older devices are going to be no longer supported. The crucial thing is, and why you did what you did, is if you turn auto updates off, your device will continue to function. If, on the other hand, you let it update, it'll brick. That's a bad thing, I think, on the mark of our friends at Amazon. Because, let's face it, these are one of the most simple devices going. You're displaying an e-ink screen displaying a .pub file is not complex. You can buy very inexpensive things from China that will let you want them clipped on the back of your phone. It's not. So the older generation devices, say if you've got one of the early ones, it's like 10, 15 years old one. Now, they've been working perfectly up until this point. If you update it, it will no longer work. And they said that these models have been supported for at least 14 years, some as long as 18. Technology's come along and they said we're no longer supporting them. I guess these are because there's no longer an easy way for them to get over-the-air updates, particularly around subscription models, so they can't pull the books back off, I'm guessing. Because things like your old keyboard ones, the classic models are no longer accessible. So, and now they've, because now you're only, I mean, now the terms and conditions quite recently changed from Amazon as well to also as part of this, where you're now only renting the book effectively rather than actually being an owner. That if you buy a book on Amazon, you don't actually have the rights to take that file away almost anymore, like you once did.
I mean,
so
technically,
yes.
always been a problem. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of in two minds on this one. On the one hand, it sucks. It sucks, and I understand the frustration, and especially devices that seem, I mean, the problem is not that there's no updates anymore. The problem is that you can't even purchase, borrow, or download content anymore, right? So it's like you might buy a book today, but you cannot read it. On the other hand, I understand the hidden cost that a lot of people don't see of supporting old devices like that. Having to
Yes,
support
and
old
your own
APIs.
devices.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 2012 or earlier. So it's like 14 years and older. So, I mean, I said I can understand it from a
Oh,
technical
yeah.
perspective. Even though I think Amazon absolutely has enough money to do that, to support it for
They
longer.
do, which is the pro my problem with it. They do have the money to keep continuing to do it.
Or find a
It
way to
doesn't make any
update it
sense.
simply. Say, okay, like we'll still whatever. I mean, to be fair, they probably haven't shipped many updates anyway for those old devices. They probably just kept them
Not for years.
alive. That's it.
Yeah, those devices. The bricking part happens if you decide you need to do a full reset on the device, then it's completely worthless. Until then, the content that you have on the Kindle, you can still read. But anything you purchase on another device or through the website, it won't download to those Kindles starting what, in May? Is that right?
Yeah, May
Yeah,
20th.
May.
May
May
20th.
20th.
Yeah, so a
And
month and a half from now.
yeah, so Patrice, your point about the age of the devices that aren't being supported. Okay, people talk about Apple supporting devices longer than other companies. When you look at the Kindle, Amazon has Apple beat in that
Oh,
space.
yes, absolutely.
But if you look at these devices, primarily what's being cut off are devices where Amazon ultimately really doesn't have control over DRM. And I think that's what's really driving this move. And that to me just really sucks because apparently the however their system works, getting content to those devices is not that big of a deal because they've been able to do it for what
Up
at this
until
point
now,
practically 2 decades.
Well, close to
So
it at least, Some of them
yeah, so
18 years, right?
yeah, and if you have a Kindle that's 18 years old and it's still working, you rock on.
But as I said, I mean, as frustrating it as it is for people, I do understand some of that at least. I understand the frustration because, like, it's making a device that's otherwise perfectly fine. I don't want to call it worthless, but less worth, like less useful. Even though there's usually people that figure out weird workarounds and ways to
Yeah,
still
there's a
do
jailbreak
things.
community for Kindle.
Yeah,
Exactly.
there's a whole jailbreak because a lot of people have been doing it since you couldn't save your own books, so they've started to say, all right, well, we're going to bring our devices back.
It's sad. It's I understand how hard it is to support things for this long, like this far back. It's not as easy as people think. It's like, oh, just keep it working. No, because everything new you do, you have to make sure that you don't break the old.
Yes.
And
you
that adds up over time.
You've got this iteration tree, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got this iteration tree. It has to work with everything from V1 through to V44. And that's
exactly.
When it gets difficult,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, not every feature, right? You can be for sure and be like, okay, like the new features and new things we only do here. But you still need to make sure that the old stuff still at least keeps working. And that is not as easy as it sounds. Like, even if you don't know security updates, nothing else, you're literally just like, I'll keep this API working so they can still download content. It does limit you sometimes, where it's like, I cannot do XYZ because I would break, or I would have to figure out a way how to do that for the old device, basically, because this is something that otherwise would brick them. Right? So oftentimes you can just be like, okay, they don't get that new feature, fine, not a problem. But there's sometimes cases where it's like, I don't know, they want to update DRM, let's put it this way. They have to still be like, hey, but the old
devices.
Exactly, because the processors are so slow and they don't have the chips for it, like that you would need or whatever. So they're like, okay, we need a way to still do that on the, like, still offer the content on the old devices. So now you have two ways of doing things, the new way and the old way. Right? And you have to support those because people expect it to work still. Yeah. I mean, that from the financial perspective probably also doesn't make a lot of sense at some point, because you have diminishing returns at some point, right? It's less and less people using the old devices, and you still have to invest. Like, the investment is the same whether there's one person using it or a million at some point. When you're just literally just keeping it working, it's the same investment.
Mm-hmm. So if it's a million people,
yeah,
that's easier to say, okay, we need to support this versus if it's one.
Per user, it's less investment. And as I mean, you pay for it indirectly, right? No, I mean, you got either the Kindle for free because, you know, Amazon gave them away at some point. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you didn't pay that much. Right? Let's face it. So the money is made through the content, right? But every dollar that you have to spend on keeping the old stuff running has to come from the content you're buying. Right. And so if it's a million users and they're buying books and whatever, it's fine. If it's one user and they're buying books, then you got not that much money available to keep it running.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the business thing. I said, I know it sucks. I know for the people who are losing that, it feels wrong. But I do understand the business side of it, even though Amazon could absolutely afford it.
Yeah, it's yes. And I'm with you. At the same time, even though my Kindle is just fine, my Kindle,
your time will come.
My Kindle is 3 years old, and it does not get software updates.
Wow.
They're done.
Yeah.
With software updates for a 3 year old Kindle.
Mine's of a similar vintage.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me. Like, if you go, you can find charts of where software updates cut off for all their devices. And and so I am behind on software updates because they don't send them to my device anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you will then still have another, what is that, 11 years until they shut it off. But
yeah. This Kindle I won't be using by the time it's not supported anymore, I'm sure. Well, and every day that I go to read something on it, there's a little part of me that's like, oh, it works. Because it did go through a stretch for almost a year where I hadn't gotten around to taking it to electronics recycling center because it stopped charging and just never worked.
Yeah, I have an iPad.
And it sat for like 8 months. And one day I was like, oh, what the hell? And I plugged it in. And it charged up and came back to life and has been working ever since.
Yeah, I have an iPad like that. It's broken.
Yeah, so, I think I'd be more sad about a broken iPad than a broken Kindle.
True.
I mean, for those sort of things, I've actually moved on now. And I'm using products from this company. I'll drop it in the chat. which a company called Books, BOOX.
Mm-hmm.
And they make some really good hardware. I've got one. It'll be a cool thing at some point.
Mm-hmm.
They make really good. It's an Android device with an e-ink screen, essentially.
Yeah.
So I can install the Kindle app. I can still get Kindle content. And I can still then also equally, if I download an EPUB from an independent publisher, I can just drop it on the device and read it. I'm not tied to one vendor anymore, and it's nice device. Mind you, those are bigger. The only problem with those devices currently, they're still 7, 10-inch. The one I've got is a 10-inch. It's still not the convenience of that. The thing I still keep my Kindle for is I can throw it in a bag. And it's with me when I need it, or even in a back pocket. It's, I've done that before when I've been out and about, and that's nice to have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the newsflash. There is no company out there. There is no device out there that gets supported forever. Even if it's a open source device and like you can run open source software on it and whatever, there will come a point, it might be very, very far away, but there will come a point where even that one is not supported. I mean, the Linux kernel does support a lot of things, but it doesn't support everything it ever did. As far as I know.
Patrice,
yes.
you just triggered a thought for me, which is that the biggest fiction part in science fiction is the longevity of the devices that people use. Let's use The Expanse as an example. In episode 1, season 1 of The Expanse, you see the people using their little tablet devices.
Yeah.
Those are the exact same devices you see them using at the end of the series, which is many years later.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's also like, if you look at other technology out there, other engineering, things do slow down eventually, right? You reach, I mean, really, if you look at it today with smartphones, they're not changing all that much. I mean, there's new smartphones coming all the time and people are buying them still, but there's like less and less changes. And I mean, look at cars. Yeah, there's still stuff changing in innovation, and especially with electric cars, there were bigger jumps now. But overall, the car that you bought 20 years ago is still being used and still works fine and like not a problem. Right. So I think there could be something that hasn't moved either. Yeah, exactly.
There's still a wheel at each corner and seats inside.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a cover over the top of your head. It's not iterated beyond that, where it's something else, where
we've tried that, but we came back to it.
No
flying car then.
Yeah. No, but as I said, so I mean, off topic, but like I think certain technologies slow down eventually, because it's like there's not a lot anymore. It works. It does the job exactly that it needs to do. And until something else comes around that completely replaces it, MP3 players.
You don't need to.
That are mostly gone by now. They didn't live very long. They're getting popular again. Yeah, but they didn't live very long either. So maybe that's part of it. Eventually it might get replaced by something else, but it doesn't change all that much anymore. Like a toaster today works probably exactly like a toaster 30, 40 years ago, more or less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but that 40-year-old toaster, it's not internet connected.
It's not internet. Yeah, great. Okay. Sure, Jeff. I'll connect an internet cable to your 40-year-old toaster.
Thank you. I'll feel much better.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else makes me feel good? And that's all technologies. What makes me feel so good about them is that they're awesome because they are supporting the British Tech Network. Odd Technologies is making sure we have bandwidth for live streams, that we have hosting space for the website and the show recordings so that you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes over and over, like all of the episodes that Chuck Latornis was in. And there's a link for all of those in the live chat because Patrice put it there. So thank you for that. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing because it does take a lot of resources to make all of this happen. So thank you, Awe Technologies, for being here for us. And for those of you that are like, well, I see what they're doing for you. What can they do for me? Well, what they can do for you is set up and manage the remote monitoring systems that you need for, say, a construction site, your railroad locations, or whatever your project is. They can make that happen for you. So if you need that, well, hit them up. Check them out on their website. It's Awe Technologies, that's awetechnologies.co.uk. And thank you, Awe Technologies, for being here and supporting us. Now, I did mention the link to Chuck Latornis's episodes that Patrice, you put in the chat. Do you mind telling people how they can find that link?
We have a live stream and a live chat. And if you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording this very show, which is, well, every Thursday, 7 p or almost every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. Check our social media if we cancel the show. Then, yeah, you can see us like do this live and can talk to us in the chat and see the links and all of that. But if you are like listening to us in a recorded form, you're listening to us later, you want to look something up that you saw in the chat, and you're like, oh, what was that again? I want to find that link that Jeff posted to the Enchidinator, whatever person, you can still do that. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, pick today's date in the chat, which is April 9th, 2026, April 9th, 2026, and then you will see everything that we talked about on this show in the chat. I want to mention, by the way, a 40-year-old internet toaster is technically possible. The World Wide Web wasn't a thing, but the internet was a thing in 1986. So,
Okay, I am ready to see that
I don't know if it
device.
existed, but like it is, at least technically, it would be possible.
It would, yeah. All right.
I don't know what it would do, but you never know. Maybe it was printing the newspaper.
Printing the news or sending an update to some
Terminal server somewhere.
board somewhere.
Yeah, it could
Saying,
be.
I made toast.
Yeah, exactly. The toast counter was going up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Good times. But, simpler times when we would go find those online boards that were out there, watch toast counters. Yeah. Oh, good times. Thank you for helping out with that, Patrice, because it always sounds much better and more intelligent when you talk about the live chat. So now it is time for some cool things. And who has the first cool thing today?
I'm gonna let Ian go first, since I did the first story.
There we go. There you go.
Ooh, nice.
So
Good one.
me, I am I have been messing
Oh.
around with my own locally hosted AI because it's interesting. I can do lots with it, and I thought, well, I've got this Mac Mini because I'm using the Linux machine as my broadcasting machine. It's got 8 gig. I mean, it's not powerful. It's an M2, and it's got 8 gig of RAM. So I thought, right, let's see what it will do. So I installed Llama. I downloaded Llama 3.5 as my LLM, and then I can type at the command. And I thought, this is a bit clunky. Do I want this? And then I discovered you can get a web interface. You can point at your own Llama instance, and I'm running them both off the Mini. I can then connect to it anywhere in the house from the IP, or I've got an Nginx proxy just because I could to direct it to a nice host name on it in my local network. And I can get to a GUI now, and I can do private AI searches against a large language model created by Meta that's big enough. And for what I've been using it for, it's useful. I don't think I'm ever going to be a person that's going to get benefit out of a summarizer. Christ, I write short enough things as it is. You make it any shorter than one word. So I don't think those things, and I also tend to worry that I'm going to miss some context if I get a summarized article anyway. So I'll read the whole thing and be damned with it. But things like, I've got this error message. It's well known, it's code. I'll paste the code block in there. Go on, what's this? And it helps. It's helped two or three times with bits of code. I've asked it, well, what can I do instead of that? And it's given me some good responses. Mm-hmm. I've used it a little bit for looking for as like a jumped up thesaurus for a few things as well, when I was trying to find a better way of wording something. It works for that. For that, and tonight I quickly threw in, tell me about the origins of the Amazon Kindle, and I got a nice little 3 or 4 paragraphs of history piece about that. So that was helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, for the limited context to which I want to use them for, it's great, and I get a reasonably decent response. I've got a few other models of them, still not deciding which one's the best. Llama 3.1 seems to be giving me the most good results. I've not yet tried any rag stuff where feeding it some docs and then getting it to do stuff out of it. That's my next game. Mm-hmm.
That's where it gets interesting, because you can feed it your own stuff that you want. Like, that's really
good. Yeah, that's the next one.
Mm. Yeah. It depends on
what I haven't got.
Yeah. Depends a little bit on the amount of RAM you have available, which models. There is better models available, but they need more RAM. Mm. So
that's the thing. Yeah. I'm limited naturally by the context of the fact that I only have 8 gig of RAM in the machine.
Yeah.
If I went to a desktop I've got down here that's got 32 in, I wouldn't be any better off, because I need a decent video card then, and then I'll have to throw £300 at it.
No, you don't. This runs headless. You need the GPU.
There's not enough GPU in there.
Yeah.
To do anything more interesting, I think, then I need to spend a couple of £100 to buy a decent VGA card with a GPU. Mm. I'm not at that
not
point
VGA
yet.
Anymore, but yeah.
I'm old school.
Yeah, darling, you're old school. You want to have a VGA card.
So if I'm going to put a GPU in here to give it, I'm going to have to spend maybe £400 to get something.
And the power.
Mac Mini. No, that's
And the power for that, right? Because then you also need like more power to run the GPU and all of that. So like that, the cost goes.
I'd probably buy a bigger Mac Mini. To be fair, I'd probably buy a bigger Mac Mini in the end.
Would be more cost effective, probably.
Good luck with finding one at the minute, of course.
Yeah.
But that would be.
Yeah.
But no, it's been really useful for the small queries I've done with it. It's been very useful. It was trivial to set up. Follow the guides. I've linked to both of them there.
Use your LLMs. Use your LLMs to help you set it up.
Exactly.
I wholeheartedly agree with it. I used to run this for a little while on my Linux server. Didn't have a great CPU, but GPU, but it had a good CPU, so that kind of made up for it a little bit. But yeah, it was great. Like, I have to say, I liked it, and it's like it looks like Perplexity almost on the web.
Yes.
The interface, so it's super easy to use.
And you can plug other stuff into it.
Yes, you can connect it to other APIs, and then it will use those. Like if you want, like I don't know, connect it to Perplexity or to Google Brave, whatever. Like there, you can hook up other APIs and then feeds the data.
You can use Brave Search with it.
Yes, Brave exactly as a source.
Web results as well.
Exactly as a data source basically, and then the LLM can work with it. GPT would be one that you could try, which GPT 5.4 probably, but you need probably a little bit more RAM for that. Yeah. Llama is a good option.
My experiments is good.
Yeah. Experiment. There's a couple other interesting models that are quite small that have been around now.
I've got Quen as well,
but more targeted towards development. But there's some. There's one in the US, one US company right now. I mean, DeepSeek is the other one that you could try. DeepSeek R1. There is some smaller versions of it that you could probably use, some quantized versions. And there's what's it called? Arky, something like that. There's a new company in the US that's quite promising that is kind of a competitor to DeepSeek. So on that level. Yeah. But there's fun to experiment with that. LLM Studio would also be a good option for you. Yeah. LLM Studio.
LLM Studio is the one that I
Yeah, LLM Studio.
Yeah.
And the next step, of course, is hooking it up to something like OpenClaw or variation. There's so many flavors of that now.
Yes.
And then see what interesting automation I can get it to do. Again, within, I quite like experimenting with the limits of my 8 gigs and M2 processor.
Yes. Because it doesn't cost you that much, right?
That's more interesting. No, yes. Exactly. It doesn't cost me anything. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I have constraints that I can work with, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, Patrice. Beat that.
What is my cool thing? My cool thing is this here.
Oh, yeah.
Black handbag. No, it's not a handbag. I think.
In a manner of speaking, it is. But in a manner of speaking.
This is just a carrying case. So it's a aviation headset that I bought since I did my solo. I was like, okay,
I did say it.
You did say it. So this is the latest Lightspeed. It's a US company. There's very few other companies, to be honest. I mean, it's probably all China made, but Lightspeed Zulu 4. Which, like I said, I did a lot of research. Like Bose is the kind of the big one that everybody seems to flock to, but Lightspeed has like it's a very good like aviation like target company. They have a really good bag that I might buy, so it might be one of the cool things in soon, because they have a really nice leather bag that I want to buy. But this, as I said, dual Bluetooth, so I can connect to two Bluetooth sources. It does noise cancellation, and then it's an aviation headset. Like it comes with different, or you can buy it with different plugs. So I, of course, got the it's called the GA plug, the general aviation plug, which is like, looks like standard headphone jacks, but there's two of them. One is the microphone and one is the headphone, and gets powered through that. So it has a battery in this remote here. It has a battery in it for ANC, but even if that runs out after, what is it, 40 hours or something, if you use, it will shut down automatically if you're not using it. And you should really have replacement batteries with you. But it will still work without, because the basic like functionality that you need with an aviation headset, which is listen to radio calls and respond to them, works just with the plug power. So there's different plugs. People that know, that would buy this, know what plugs are available and like whatever. I got the GA because that's what we need. But it is super comfy. I said, for me, the selling points was one, the earmuffs are designed in a way that you can wear either like I have earrings sometimes, or you have like glasses or sunglasses or whatever that you're wearing. And they're specially designed that you can do them, and they still seal properly and they still fit properly.
Oh, nice.
They are for, I would say, somewhat bigger heads. I've heard from some women, like if you're smaller or just in general, if you have a smaller head, there's a replacement top thing here, like the little, don't know what to call that, little...
Your little head pads.
Head pads, yeah. There's a replacement for people that have smaller heads that you can buy a bigger head pad and then it fits a little better. But I've heard that this is more a bigger headset. So it's for bigger heads in general, which works for me because I'm a big head. Yeah, and it's that good quality. Have only had a chance to try it very briefly because I haven't flown since. I only used it basically to get to taxi the plane back to the hangar. But yeah, that's my cool thing. It's not a cheap one. It's like $1,100. But it also lasts. I mean, these are built to last, right?
One-time purchase, I presume, and you can replace mostly pads and stuff when they wear out.
Yeah, you can buy cable replacements. You can buy pad replacements. They come with a 7-year warranty as well. They're really designed for professional use, right? For professional pilots. So like not the GA people that we are. There's definitely cheaper headsets you could buy. There's also more expensive ones. The Bose ones are usually about $1,400, but you can buy like $500, $600, but they don't have the features that I wanted. So got that one. Very happy with it. You cannot tell through the video. But it's like, it just feels really, like really well built. The plastics are really high quality plastics, the cuffs, like, and all of that. The metal is really metal. So like, I mean, you get a good quality thing. The only thing is you cannot move the microphone arm. So the Bose one, I think you can move it from left to right if you prefer that the other way around. This does not offer that. Hmm. So
something you should know if you care about that. I didn't. I was like, don't care. Left, right, for me the same. But
Very
for some
cool.
people it might matter. Yeah. I've heard that like people have said quality wise they're better, but if you have a big head then it might not be for you. Sorry, if you have a small head it might not be for you.
Okay. Well, okay, so that's two super cool things.
Hmm.
And
one was free and one was really expensive, so where do you end up?
in the middle. Because you're going to have a Disney Plus subscription or know how to find things.
Okay.
And I'm bringing the latest Star Wars series, Maul Shadow Lord. Mm-hmm. The first two episodes are out. And this helps reinforce my my belief in a thing that I openly say. Some of the absolute best Star Wars storytelling is through their animated series.
I'd say the only good Star Wars storytelling is through the animated series.
Well, Andor.
okay, fair point. Andor. Okay, I'll give you that one.
but otherwise, yeah, you have to look to their animated shows for the highest quality storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so this fits chronologically in line where, okay, so it'd be after the Clone Wars series. Because the Clone Wars series ends with Order 66 and the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Empire. So this series takes place after the Empire has seized power, and it follows Maul, formerly Darth Maul, who developed as a real character, a very interesting character, through the Clone Wars series, and actually carried over into Star Wars Rebels, and developed even more there, so now this series focuses on Maul and what he's doing. Well, it's with the crime world and trying to exact revenge on the various people that totally screwed over his life, and of course ultimately he would like to get revenge on Darth Sidious, the Emperor. Mm-hmm. So the first two episodes are out. And the premise so far is he is taking on the crime underworld lords, and has encountered a teenager who is a Jedi that survived the Jedi massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have now encountered each other, and there's a detective, a law enforcement officer of some kind, on whatever planet they're on, and he's investigating the crime lord activities, and so his path is right now just about to cross with Maul's path. And so they're releasing two 30-minute episodes each week, so they come out together. So it's like you get a full chapter each week, and there's 10 episodes. I don't know if it's going to be a multi-season thing or if it's just a 10-episode story about Maul. But holy crap, the storytelling is really interesting. The characters are very compelling. Sam Witwer, I believe,
mm-hmm.
that's the voice actor that portrays Maul, and he's been portraying that character in animation for close to 20 years now, and mm-hmm. he's absolutely fantastic. The animation is top notch. So there you go, Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord.
Very cool. You get mauled.
You get mauled. Yes, some people very much do.
Yeah, very cool.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, doesn't cost you that much. Only a Disney Plus subscription. You don't have it.
We've got Disney Plus actually. We haven't watched that much on it. Here's a question: could I watch this without going through all of the many? Because I just looked at the many series of Clone Wars.
I think you could. They're explaining things along the way a little bit.
Okay.
What you need to know going into this is that this is after the Empire has taken control.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. I might have a look because I've just finished the first season of Blacklist. I've been watching, and I'm not watching anymore. I did one season. It's enough. I will go and watch bits of Reddington on. To be honest, the cast list of crap.
I think it got better later, but that's my opinion.
Did it get better?
The first season was frustrated with it. The first season was a little bit rough.
Yeah, I'm getting annoyed with Liz, and I decided I can't be bothered anymore. What I'll do is I'll look for the best bits of Reddington on YouTube and be done with it.
Okay.
So I was looking for something new. I've got Night Manager. I was going to go out. I might have on the list because it's something different.
I can recommend.
I've still got some soundtrack as well.
Yeah, I can recommend Paradise. It'll be a cool thing.
Which one's that on?
Hulu and Disney Plus. Okay, in the US, Disney Plus, and the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'll look out for that.
Cool.
Yeah, will be a cool thing probably one of the next weeks.
Well, I'm looking forward to your review as part of your cool thing. Okay, well, it's time to wrap up. So, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every Thursday on The Big Show, providing nothing else gets in my way. Otherwise, I'm sometimes in our Slack room, which is our space on Slack. If not that, then you'll find me on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant, and I work for the Veeam Corporation.
Awesome. Okay.
That's the easiest place to find me.
Yeah. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on The Big Show on Thursdays and The Mac Show on Fridays. So also tomorrow, since I'm not flying tomorrow, I'll definitely be here tomorrow. Everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, random and rare blog posts, and the list of all the cool things since November 2019. And I think by now, my cool thing for today should already be up because I just pushed it thanks to
Skippy handled it for you.
Skippy handled it. No, Skippy is sometimes useless for shit like that. What's the Microsoft thing now? I'm blanking on it. It's not Cloud Code.
Copilot,
thank you. It was something with a C, C's.
Copilot Code.
Copilot, thank you. Yes, thanks to Copilot, it's already done and pushed. I mean, it's easy. Just give it a link and say, put this in, please, and it does it. It figures out what it was and then puts it in. All on the website, thepatrice.com will take you there. And with Jeff together, we do retro rewatch retro TV shows. We did publish last week A Big Affair, Watergate. And this week, we'll talk to Chaka in the first ones. So,
yeah,
check that out.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. And Chaka. On Saturday Chaka. Afternoon, I'll hopefully make the sky. Hopefully not unsafe. Should be fine. I know what I'm doing by now, a little bit at least. I'm only allowed to fly around the airport, so I should be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get to fly.
I get to
that
fly.
That in and of it's itself is awesome.
Yeah, they let me fly, so I'm good enough and safe enough to do that.
That's
under
awesome.
Supervision.
You know, we probably all need some supervision.
Yeah, we do, definitely.
Yeah.
What?
All right.
Where can people find you, Jeff?
Well, on the various social medias as Jay Gamut. Mostly right now, Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And as Patrice just pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. Also, I'm going to be at Mac Stock in July, and I will be speaking. So if you're in a position to be able to come to Crystal Lake, Illinois in July, do it, and we'll hang out together and have a wonderful time. Also, a little side thing. My old Fresh Brewed Tales blog, where I talk about mm-hmm. the crazy things that I mm-hmm. see in coffee shops, it is alive again.
Ah, nice. I've been waiting for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, brought it back to life last week. And my world has been so insane, I haven't had time to go and hang out in coffee shops. So I need to do that. And then I will be able to start adding new posts to Fresh Brewed Tales. So that's a thing, and it's out there, and it's alive again.
Yeah, there's not been a post since 2017.
Right, but if you look at the site, boy, it looks brand new now, doesn't it?
It does. It does look brand new. It's like a whole thing. Yeah, I love those. I love those stories that you were writing about.
Well, there will be more. Patrice, if you go to the About page.
Mm-hmm.
The video recording of when I talked about the whole coffee shop thing as an Ignite presentation.
Mm-hmm.
The video of that is there.
Ooh. Wow. And that's a very, like a longer haired, very young Jeff Gamet there.
I still had red hair.
Must be about 700 years ago.
Yeah, 703.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I watched that. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, well, you can see it. And and just like on the blog, every story that I talk about in the presentation,
mm-hmm.
they're all real.
Yeah. I have to say one thing. The static image from the video, you look a little bit insane.
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't know.
Gross. But it's either that or gross.
Well, yeah.
It could also be. It's Denver. It's Denver after all.
It is. Yeah. And that's from before recreational use of marijuana was legal. So everyone was really tense. Yeah. Okay. So. With that out of the way, it has been so great to spend this time with the two of you today. So thank you for being my friends and being here. Both of you are absolutely awesome. Everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this as well. Everyone that watches and listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting us. All right. Now, this is the part where I remind all of you to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show and then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show again. And all of you, have a wonderful weekend.